This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. It's going to cost you more to fix your iPhone. We're going to have a very cool voicemail tip. Do people still use voicemail? We're going to talk about a very, very serious Bluetooth, basically hack malware. It's nasty. We're going to talk about the Apple, of course, the Apple 10 and the Apple iPhone 8 and the Face ID. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the newest Chinese face mask in response to the face recognition from Apple, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1226 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, September 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Of course, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. Did I say the GoDaddy thing twice? Pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great lineup for you tonight. Lots to talk about. And I'm serious. This is going to be a whopper. We got a lot to get through in a short amount of time tonight. And lots for me to share. But if you're brand new, to Geek News Central, we want you to really get connected with the show. And to do so, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com get subscribed to the podcast. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the show. And get hooked up over there. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Android, via email, Google Play, and Stitcher. On TuneIn, or just use the old school RSS feed. A little bit down, further down the page is information on how to get subscribed to the newsletter. And of course, the writing team's got lots of great content. So we want you to just go through and definitely check out the podcast, the blog, the additional articles. Everything that's over there is all good stuff. So definitely check it out over at geeknewscentral.com, home headquarters for this podcast. And of course, if you have a comment on today's show, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel by basically just dropping me a line and let me know that you want to be added to the Slack channel. I'll get you added to that. Of course, you can follow me on Google+ or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can watch on Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling that device to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry.com, or tell the Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, which I had a phone call with just the other day, The Pro Gear Site being written by the GNC team, The Podcast Legends Show, and of course, the new media show I do every Saturday with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. This show would not be possible without our sponsor, longtime sponsor of the podcast, and that, of course, is GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of this show. They really have, been here through thick and thin, and we want you to take advantage of the deals that they have made available to you as a listener of this show. And basically, they keep the lights on here, and we want to make sure that you help them keep their lights on as well by basically checking out all their products and services. And when you visit my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to find all the deals. It's basically going to save you a lot of money on the products and services over there that really mean the most and get sold the most, whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain, a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, again, for the first year, $12 with a free domain, or 1 month free of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Check all that out at GoDaddy.com. And of course, you definitely want to use my codes. You think about buying a domain name or you're buying a hosting account, just come over and click on the link or copy the code and enter the code at checkout. We really want you to use the codes. Don't forget them. If you hear of a friend, family member, someone that you know is getting ready to start a website, start a business, telling me, you know this dude, and his name's Todd, and he does this podcast, and he has discounts available. We want you to use those codes. Help us keep the lights on here at Geek News Central. Because, yes, my electricity bill is on the climb again, sadly, very, very sadly. So I'm going around and, like, turning, you know, kind of bringing the hammer back and turning lights off. You know, with the solar on the roof, we haven't had to do that until the house became full and my wife started charging her electric car. But that's okay. We're still ahead of the game. Okay, so anyway, just want to go through a little bit about what's going on. And I'm going to be honest with you. Kirk, the producer here, and Kirk is really doing an incredible job in getting show prep ready. I'm keeping about 90% of the stuff that he queues up. I'm adding a few articles here or there to the queue for the show. And we're synced up really, really well. And he's doing a great job. And, you know, I was stressed out over the last couple of weeks. I kind of talked a little bit about it on the last show. And I'm trying to figure out how can I optimize things a little bit more. And I'm thinking, I wonder if Kirk could help with the show notes. So after the last show, I reached out to him and said, do you think you could prep the show notes by doing all the links to all the articles I'm going to cover? And if there's a few that I don't cover, so what? We'll leave them in there, or I'll clean them out in the evening after I get done recording the podcast. And he jumped right on it. So this afternoon, he sent me a message on Slack and said, hey, I've done the run through. Go through and also look at the show notes. And I went into the blog and loaded up the draft, and man, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So show notes tonight are courtesy and probably from henceforth until Kirk gets tired of me. He'll be taking care of the links at the bottom of the page. So awesome. And if you have any feedback for him, I'd love to send it over to him. But man, I'm telling you, it's wonderful to have the extra help, and really the sponsor and the insiders and folks donating. That really goes a long way into me being able to write the checks for really everything that I do on the site. So big thanks for that. So last show, it was miserable. I mean, everyone's been complaining here in Hawaii. It's been the hottest week of the year. There's been no air. It's been just, it's been horrible. And about 4 o'clock this afternoon, we started to get a little wisp of the trade winds. We knew they were coming, and the edge has been taken off just a little bit. But they say tomorrow, trade winds will be back and things will be kind of, we can breathe again here. So I know it's getting cold in your area, and it's still 90 here. So I know you don't feel bad for me at all, but yeah, just getting that humidity out and just, it's good. So it makes it better here in the studio too, because of the, you know, we have just basically, I have the windows open, the sliding glass door open, and ceiling fan running in here. Hey, by the way, my other glass wasn't big enough, so I basically went to a bigger cup for for H2O during the show. So I don't, if I drink all this, I'll have to run to the bathroom. I don't think I'll run out. So anyway, let's talk just a little bit about the Apple event. You know, you've all read through everything already. You've heard it on the news. You've seen it on the websites. But my thought is the iPhone 8 is going to be the best bang for the buck for the majority of folks. And it's still going to be able to use fingerprint. To me, that is like a, you know, I got to have to be able to do a fingerprint unlock. It just, it seems to me that the Apple, the iPhone 8 is going to be the way to go. Now, that said, I'm not due for a phone upgrade. So I'm looking forward to seeing the iPhone 10. I think that'd have been cooler if they called it the iPhone X. And I think that's what we're just going to call it here. But the iPhone X screen is going to set you back in your seat. When you go into an Apple store, and if you're thinking, if you're on the edge, if you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to get the iPhone 8 or the iPhone 10, when you see the screen on this bad boy, I've talked for years on this show about OLED screens being brighter and more beautiful than real life. As far as I'm stood in front of OLED screens that are television screens with my mouth open and staring at wonderment. And Jack, who's listened to the show, and others who have been to CES and seen those big, massive $250,000 OLED screens are absolutely perfect. And they probably had $1 million shipping case just to get it in there. When you see a screen like this, you're going to be astonished. I'm just going to tell you, the demo videos and what you're seeing online is, unless you've got an OLED TV, the video that Apple has for that phone is not doing the screen justice. It can't. It just can't capture what that screen's really going to look like. That's my only point. There's going to be people who are going to say, that's worth an extra $200 or $300. And of course, Apple Care, you're $1,250, $1,350 out the door, right? US dollars. Some of you are going to see that screen and you're going to fall in love. Now, we'll talk about the facial recognition in a little bit, but that is my point on this iPhone X. It's going to be the big, big, big difference on the sale. So if you're on the edge, don't order the iPhone 8. Wait till you see a 10. Okay. Now the 10s are going to be very limited production run. They're going to be way behind. So you don't want to wait too long. You want to be in the Apple store the day they're in there, look at it. And if you're ready, order on your phone, because they're not going to have them in the store. They're going to sell out. Okay. Or be the first in line and be prepared to buy the first one they have, you know, that would be the other option. Look at it, see it, and buy it, right? So just fair warning. All right, so here's what's going on. I fly out Saturday evening, go to the East Coast. I'm going to be bouncing around. But there will be two regular shows, audio only, Monday and Thursday. So that's on schedule. There'll be two road shows. Going to work on the mic positioning and the breathiness of the portable rig on the for the road show, so just let you know that. But one thing that I have been working on is I've talked to you guys a few times on the show already about these proximity beacons. Now, we're not going to talk about the company that I talked about before, because I found a way around them. And what it was costing me was $50 a month for 3 proximity beacons, and I had purchased 6, so I was up to $150 a month for these proximity beacons to do this marketing, this proximity marketing that's working out really, really well. Well, a good friend of mine on Facebook turned me on to a website where I paid about $80 to take a online course, and basically all it was is I paid for the information to find out where to get these bad boys directly from the manufacturer. So I ordered 20. 19 of them worked great. I had one that was faulty, but I got an email from the manufacturer. They say they're going to send me a replacement. No questions asked. So I got the beacons, and I got the instructions on how to set these up. Now, I was paying $50 for 3 a month. And if I wanted the message changed, I had to wait at least 24 hours for the message to be replaced. Now, I ordered 20 of these, and it was $200 plus shipping. And I did, because I'm getting ready to go on travel, I wanted to have them in hand. So I paid for 2-day delivery, which to Hawaii was like $50. But I got these, I got 20 of them, and immediately set 6 of them up, turned the other ones off, and I've been on the new proximity beacons for about 12 hours with the new ones. Now, setting the proximity beacon up through the instructions I got from the website took about 15 minutes. Now I can set one of these up in about 5. So there's essentially without giving away the secret sauce here, because I've got a business idea behind this, and I'm not trying to make it a secret, those of you that are listening, but there is going to be an opportunity for people, and I'm not going to be doing 3 for $50 or anything stupid like that, because, but anyway, long story short, what I have found was these beacons cost $10 each. They are easy to set up. You need 2 apps to set them up, and I set them up with my iPhone. Didn't need an Android to do it. Can do it with an Android. And I also needed a Google Developers account, which I already had, and it's free to sign up for that. And very simple to go through. And be honest with you, the company that was promoting this and charging $50, it's, you know, I'm kicking myself. I didn't even Google around any for any, but this course was like $79. I was happy to pay it, worth every penny. So now I've got 20 beacons. I've only got, I get 6 of them turned on. 4 of them are going to my sister. So, she'll be getting 4 of these, and then I'm able to program them for her on the fly, and then I've got 9, because I had one bad one. I've got 9 to do other things with. So we've got a friend who has found a source for these overseas, and he's going to order a few samples from another country, from China, and we're going to see if we can get those to work as good as, there's like 5 companies that I found out that make these beacons. And we're going to, and this company that I bought from is the cheapest. So we're going to go and see if we can buy in bulk from China. These things are slick in the way it works. So, I've talked about this a lot. There's a link on the website in the show notes tonight that will take you to the information, the page that you can basically do what I did. And in all honesty, I paid for the course. I don't want to just spread everything. I've told the guys that had bought in the units on the deal I had before that I would just give them that information so that they could get access to it. And I just feel it's fair, right? Don't want them to have to spend more money than they did. But the rest of you that want to get access to this information and figure out how to do this, and this is simple. This is stupidly simple. Probably any person that listens to the show can do this, can set this up and buy these. So I'll have a link up to the course in the show notes tonight. But now, here's another thing I found out. The ones that I bought from the other company, I'm really renting them. I have to send them back when I cancel the credit card. I'm just like, okay, can I just pay you $60 for them, and give me the unlock code, and I'll reprogram them? Because they do. They're password protected. You can lock them down. So anyway, that's what's going on with these proximity beacons. And works well. And you have to, you know, Google is, you know, watching. You can get your account shut down. You do something stupid, you start doing spam stuff, they'll shut you down. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on here. And we'll get into the stack of stuff. And I do have a good stack of stuff for you tonight. Again, thank you all for being here. I definitely appreciate it. So with the announcement of the new phones from Apple, and of course, we're going to have a big announcement in October from Google, their new Pixel phones coming. But I just want to make mention of one thing. So you remember, I can take these beacons and use some double-sided tape. Now imagine me going to CES and going to an Android booth and leaving one and then leaving a message. I wouldn't do that. I don't want to get my credentials removed or retracted, but I'm just thinking, wow, I've had some vendors before that have not been so nice. It'd be kind of fun to leave a beacon with a message at their booth. But anyway, but going back to the iPhone thing, Apple just made your iPhone more expensive to fix. They've raised the prices of iPhone 7, iPhone 6 repairs, okay? Apple will charge you $149 now on the iPhone 7 to replace the screen, and on the iPhone 7 Plus, $169. Then if you have an iPhone 6 Plus, $169. Oh, same price, $149 for the regular 6. So they've raised the prices up, and then of course if you're getting it wet or you've done something else, it could be as high as like $399. Now remember, there's a lot of shops now that can replace screens on phones maybe cheaper than actually having it done through Apple. Now if you've got AppleCare already, then it's probably, you want to use that. But some of you will be close to running AppleCare out, all right? But you remember, if you crack the screen on iPhone 7 or iPhone 6, those aren't covered by the warranty or on AppleCare. Again, Apple will charge you for that. So just be aware, okay, of the limitations of AppleCare when it comes to fixing the iPhones. Of course, we just had, two devastating hurricanes, both Texas and Florida, and the Keys is just a wreck. But it took me. I knew my daughter was safe, and she because where she was at, but they were without power, and she was with her mom, and her mom had checked in online and basically checked in safe on Facebook. So I said, okay, your mom's checked in safe, my daughter's checked is going to be fine too. But, I tried calling, and it went straight to voicemail. So either a phone was dead or whatever. So this is where, if you have those anchor batteries, and you have those charged up, this is a couple days. One of these will recharge a phone, and I've got enough of these that I could recharge a couple of phones here for a week. So these are, like, good things to have around, those batteries, plus be able to have them in the car and so forth if you're, I basically have a couple in my computer bag, but if self service is up, you can just set a message on your voicemail. Hi, this is Todd. I'm currently safe. Coverage is spotty. I'm okay, and just leave your status message on your voicemail, and to give your whereabouts or if you need help. This is kind of a, because that's what I was doing. I was calling her, right? And it was clicking the voicemail, and it was, hi, this is Natalie. And, it was a typical, bubbly, I'm good. So use your voicemail on your phone if you still have cell service to leave an update on your status when you get into one of these, situations. And I think that was, very good. Hey, Brad. Hey, Gregory. Hello. Gregor, what's my setup? I have a TriCaster here. That's what I have. Multiple camera setup. So let's talk about this Bluetooth malware that's out there. And this really, to be honest with you, sounds pretty nasty. It sounds to me like Android users have some concerns. And they're calling it Blueborn. And again, come on, these sites that have these ads on them. Okay, come on now, let me close that so we don't have to see that on the screen. Yes, thank you for advertising okay, we don't need another pop-up. So it's called Blueborn, and it's basically a malware attack, but spreading in the wild thanks to a combination of a couple of things here. Of 8 different vulnerabilities affecting Android, iOS, Internet of Thing devices, Windows, and Linux, as being reported by the security research firm Armis. Blueborn allows attackers to take control of the device, access corporate data and network, penetrate secure air gap networks, and spread malware laterally to adjacent devices. Armis reported these vulnerabilities to the responsible actors and is working with them as patches are being identified and released. What sets Blueborn apart from other malware is that the infected device doesn't have to pair with your hardware to infect it. Pairing is fundamental in the use of Bluetooth. Some devices have a code you have to enter to pair them. We all know that. Some pair automatically if they're in range and set to the appropriate mode, but you can't typically exchange data with a Bluetooth device if you aren't paired with it, at least not in theory. The problem is, even after Bluetooth devices have paired to one product, they continue sending out signals to locate other devices in the area. So the Blueborn attack vector requires, again, no user interaction. It's compatible to all software versions and does not require any preconditions or configuration sites from the Bluetooth being active. Unlike the common misconception, Bluetooth-enabled devices are constantly searching for incoming connections from any device. And not only those they have paired with. This means a Bluetooth connection can be established without pairing the device at all. This makes Blueborn one of the most broad potential attacks found in years and allows an attacker to strike completely undetected. So it goes into how it really works and how there's a man in the middle, but there's going to be some patches coming for sure for Windows users, for maybe Internet of Things users, and of course, those of you that are on Android devices. No word of not if this is actually affects iOS devices either, but there's a video on this. I'll have a link up in the show notes tonight. You'll want to definitely check this out and be aware of, okay? All right, if you do get the Apple iPhone 10, I don't know why you want to say Apple phone, the Apple iPhone 10, just let you know that if your kid picks up your phone, they're not going to be able to unlock it with their face. The Apple Face ID is only going to support one registered face per phone at launch. So that is a limitation because it could change some user behavior regarding the device. And with Face ID only supporting one face, and unlike Touch ID, users have only Touch ID allows multiple fingers to be registered because they have quite a few digits. You know, it's not hard to register them. But I can see here where kids are not going to be able to unlock the phones. At least I don't think so. The passcode option, I guess, is still going to be available, and maybe that'll be the workaround. But here's the thing that I'm thinking about, and it's not being talked about yet. Well, maybe a little bit. Criminals are not going to get the iPhone 10. Because just like using your fingerprint, where you can be compelled to unlock an iPhone, your face will be the same thing. The police will be able to compel you to show your face to unlock your iPhone 10. So this is, in my opinion, remember they've implemented in iOS 11 the ability for you to turn off your fingerprint unlock with just a couple of swipes. They set it in iOS 11 so that you can, if you think you're getting arrested or your phone's going to be confiscated, you can very quickly disable the fingerprint unlock portion. And are they going to do this for the Face ID? Are they going to make it so they can turn off Face ID on the fly? That is a question that I want answered. So, it's just too bad the phone doesn't support fingerprints still. That's my favorite way to unlock a phone. And we'll see how good this Face ID stuff works. But very funny. The folks in China, you know, some people are going to end up getting shot because of this particular item that they're selling on Amazon. It's a face mask, and it's being marketed as a iPhone security tool. Chinese vendors on the online marketplace. Oh, it's on Taobao, T-A-O-B-A-O. Never resist a chance to peddle their goods. Just days after Apple announced the iPhone X that replaced the home button's Touch ID for Face ID, the Chinese merchants have launched protective masks. If you're worried that someone will unlock your phone while you're sleeping, which is probably unlikely given that Face ID is designed not to work when your eyes are closed, there are a number of masks you can order straight to your house for $5 to $15. If you want to get one of the ones with holes exposed or none at all, you know, this is probably not a good item to wear when you are out and about. If you are, you know, going into a store or something like this, this is probably a good way to get drawn down upon. But someone is, you know, I guess these rioters and stuff, maybe they'll be ordering these things, wearing these black masks. It's just, but you just have to laugh at what folks will do in marketing wise. I know we have a few truck drivers that listen to the show, and you know, I've been long saying that autonomous truck driving is going to make a major impact to your industry. And I know some of you have poo-pooed me on that over time. And let me just say this. Tesla is about ready to introduce their all-electric semi. The reveal is set for October 26th. And you can be absolutely positive that they are going to introduce the ability for this truck to drive itself. Now, I agree, short haul, in around cities, backing into docks, all that stuff is maybe not going to be able to be accomplished immediately. And of course, nothing replaces, you know, it's when you're flying in an airplane, and especially for pilots, and I was never a pilot, so let me just be clear on that. When you're flying and the airplane does something funny, the first place you feel it is in your butt, in your buttocks. Same thing with a truck. You start to jackknife, or the truck starts to do something funny. The first place you feel it is in your butt, and you react. And will a computer be able to do that? We don't know. Okay. And there's all kinds of driving conditions and craziness on the road that, you know, a brain will oftentimes be faster than a computer. But, you know, Tesla's already proved that their vehicles reduce accidents by 40% with their cars. So if they're going to be introducing a semi that will drive by itself, and we'll, let's just say you have a staging area. You know, the short haul driver gets it to I-95, gets it in a staging area. They get out of the vehicle, shut the door, push a button, the door locks, and the truck takes off on its own because it has been set up to go on an on-ramp, drive for 600 miles, stop, go into a staging area. Short haul driver gets in it, takes it the rest of the way. This is coming, truck drivers. If I know many of you say no, that this is not coming, but it is. In 10 years, things are going to change dramatically in the trucking business. Now, this truck only has a range of 300 miles on a single charge. So if we think about this from a production standpoint, at 60 miles an hour, that's 5 hours of driving. Usually, you're going to have to stop to get fuel, or you're going to have to stop for a restroom break, or, you know, and I know you have driving restrictions, but if they have truck stops with superchargers where they can charge the truck in 30 minutes, back up to where it can go another 300 miles, then this could make an impact. Because if you think, those of you that are truck drivers, how long, if you've driven for 300 miles and you stop, how long do you take a break for? To get some lunch, grab a burger? You know, what is your break time there? Are you 30 minutes? Can they charge a truck in 30 minutes? It goes on its own. And plus, they have no sleep restrictions either. The truck can roll all night. So we'll see what happens with this semi-truck reveal on October 26th. I am fascinated by what is going to be introduced by Tesla on that date, for sure. Sorry for the air gap there. I should edit that out, but I don't edit. One thing about having this big, massive mug here, it's not as easy to get a quick drink. So maybe I'm gonna have to go to something a little different. But anyway, it is what it is. Hey, over at space.com, guitarist Tommy Shaw of the legendary rock band Styx. And if you don't know who Styx is, I'm sorry. He dedicated a song to Saturn's Cassini spacecraft in a new video. If anyone appreciates the value of a long, successful road trip, it's us here at Styx, Shaw said, before going into the ballad mode with the song Radio Silence off the group's new album, The Mission. The 2017 album describes a mission to Mars, but Styx's relationship with NASA goes back a few years. So Styx visited NASA's New Horizons team just days before the historic flyby of Pluto. So anyway, we know that it's pretty cool what he's done there. And if you want to check it out, link will be up in the show notes. So this is Styx's first album in 14 years. So be interesting to see how the song is. And again, you have to purchase it. It's available on Amazon. Do they do us? If I play a sample, I'll get shut down. So, it's probably going to be good. We'll have to check it out. And, but, you know, what did they do? Run out of royalty money? Is that why they've had to put up a new album? If you haven't heard, Kaspersky, the security company, has basically, they're under a lot of heat. And the United States government has banned federal agencies from using its software. And the chief executive there is adamant that its customers have no reason to distrust his Russian firm. He promises, comrade, that there is nothing wrong with our software. We do not spy on you and send information back to the KGB. And, I laugh, but, they're essentially there's some serious accusations out there. And anyone use our software? So I'd love to hear some of you that are a fan of that software to weigh in on this. Now, I'm not 100% up to speed on exactly how wide the ban goes, if they've been banned from other stores, but I heard that they were removed from a specific online mobile app store. So anyway, this link will be up in the show notes, but they're not happy. They have been cut off. And, you know, let's be honest. Does it really make sense that the U.S. government be buying antivirus and security products from Russia? Isn't that kind of like common sense that you would not do that? You would think, right, that would be kind of like a duh? Like you would know that is probably not a good idea? I would think so. In Japan, and I didn't really, my wife's from Okinawa, so I don't think we've ever had this discussion. But, you know, she's Japanese, but Okinawan Japanese, which is, different. And I don't remember when I dated another Japanese girl when I was younger, but apparently the Japanese take body odor very seriously. Now, I have been on some Japanese trains, and there has been some foul rank people, okay? In any subway you get in, you get right up next, close and personal to someone when it's rush hour, you know, you're going to smell the freshness, right? But apparently, and I'm going to have to check in with her on this, the Japanese take body odor very seriously. So much so, in fact, that companies in Japan host seminars on smell harassment. Impeccable hygiene also extends to the home, where people are expected to take off their shoes. Of course, that's the come to my house, you have to take off your shoes at the door. Naturally, the tech-savvy nation has come up with a number of modern applications for funky-smelling folk. There's an app that tells you if your armpits are, like, reeking. I'm not even going to say that. And there's a robotic puppy now that smells your feet. A sniffer dog comes with an odor sensor for a nose that's hardly subtle. Not only does it bark when it comes across stinky toes, but it will roll over and temporarily faint if your feet reek. Now, come on. No one works all day, has their shoes in leathers, and has their feet coming out smelling like a rose. There's not a single one of us on the planet our feet don't come out stinking, right? Well, come on. If there's anyone that's in this audience that can be at a full day's job with a pair of socks on, come to the house and take their socks off and go, that smells great. If you can do that, please introduce yourself. This is such BS. Come on. Everyone's feet stink. Now, in the morning, if you get up and take a shower and put your socks on, they shouldn't. But give me a break. Give me a break. Oh, my gosh. Hey, over on the Google website, get a closer look with Street View in Google via the Earth VR. With Google Earth VR, you can go anywhere in virtual reality, whether you want to stroll along the canals of Venice, stand at the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, or soar through the sky faster than a speeding bullet. There's no shortage of things to do or ways to explore. But anyway, Earth VR, to make it more, is available for you to check out. I don't have a VR headset yet, so those of you do, let me know how this turns out. All right. Article over on MakeUseOf.com talking about Wi-Fi and using a booster or extender in your home. How many of you have done that? Some of them work better than others. I've got one from Netgear that works decently. I have an extender in the back corner of the house that doesn't work too bad. You lose some speed, but it's better than not having any signal. So if you've had some challenges with Wi-Fi, they've got a good review of Wi-Fi. If you've got a Wi-Fi problem, they've got a review of some Wi-Fi extenders. Now, because we are a family of geeks and nerds and techies, and you know, you all have all kinds of stuff at your house, right? You've got video games, you got comic books, you may have some anime, you may have some manga, magazines. It could run the gamut. Now, you know, if you're single, and I'll be nice here, if you're single and you've got this stuff kind of like half-trodden around your house, the folks over at Lifehacker, they've got some tips for you, fellas, and maybe even the ladies. It's got a way for you to put your exceptional items, your action figures, to put them on display and make them look not so tacky and just kind of like on a dresser or something, okay? And they've also talked about going digital with comics and manga, you know, packing, you know, box up the comic books, you know, get them in wrappers, make them safe so that, you know, your kids' kids can sell them for $100,000, right? So that stuff takes up a lot of space. Of course, getting set up and getting your entertainment center cleaned up. The best investment I did for furniture-wise was, my goal as a grown adult is to buy one piece of really good furniture a year. And not cheap stuff, one piece of really good furniture. And over 10 or 15 years, you acquire some nice furniture, right? One of the first pieces I bought underneath that policy was an entertainment center. And I went way above and beyond, and it was one of those console ones. It was, you basically stick everything in, put the flat screen on top, and it really does a number. People come in the house, they see that, where did you get that? So, fellas, don't go cheap on the entertainment center. That's something that's going to last forever. Don't get one that's open face. Have something that closes up, hides all that stuff, hides the Xbox, hides the DVD player, hides the old VCR, you know, hides the Apple TV, and you know, who knows? You do this organizing, as they're suggesting here in Lifehacker, and I know none of us have too much stuff. You might actually be appreciated by the opposite sex if you're single. So take the time and make your bachelor pad a little more appeasing. But anyway, some tips from Lifehacker out there, all right? Parrot has introduced what's called the Mambo FPV Mini Quadcopter. And, you know, I'm not, you know, Parrot has not a good history here recently on their drones. But this one basically gets a drone's eye view. The camera's up a little bit above the drone, and you wear a helmet. Not a helmet. It's a screen. And you can fly this first person. It's a first person view. So very, very cool. And it's an FPV HD camera. Cockpit glasses is what they're terming it. So anyway, this is something new from Parrot. We'll see. We'll wait to get some real reviews, some real flight time on this thing. All right, scientists have developed a microscope that allows them to track sperm. It tracks sperm movements in 3D, which could benefit the understanding of both fertility treatments and microrobotics. The device is made up of inexpensive components, including LEDs and an image sensor like the one found in a mobile phone, and uses holography and image reconstruction algorithms to precisely track the motion of sperm head and tails. Until now, little has been known about, you know, the swimming patterns, and specifically in 3D. Well, I guess now these scientists have got a pretty good idea how those little guys and gals and, well, what do we even want to say that like that? Go. So, but anyway, they're basically doing fertility insight on this. So, nanobots are calling them, it's not a nanobot if they're using 3D and LEDs. That's not a nanobot. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Did you know that NSA once spied on your NSYNC downloads from Kazaa? Apparently, some new stuff from Edward Snowden, new cache of data, shows that the NSA had been snooping online for a lot longer than you think. They've been listening. They were looking at the type of files you were downloading off of Napster, LimeWire, and Kazaa, according to The Intercept. Why they wanted that information, who knows? But anyway, link will be up in the show notes. A little bit of car information. The 2018 Toyota RAV4 can be yours for $27,700. I remember when that was actually a cheap vehicle. It was a decent buy. Now that vehicle continues to climb up in price. Former Google employees are suing for pay discrimination. The suit follows an investigation by the U.S. Department of Labor, as well as the infamous Google memo on gender diversity. The complaint filed in San Francisco Superior Court alleges the company has paid women less than men for doing similar work. The lead attorney of the suit filed on behalf of former Googlers Kelly Ellis, Holly Pease, and Kelly Wazuri, and they're all requesting this be given a class action status. They say Google is discriminating and continues to discriminate against its female employees by systematically paying them lower compensation than Google pays to male employees performing substantially similar work under similar working conditions. So we'll see where this goes. Google, naughty, naughty. If you're not paying equal pay at this time, you should know better by this already. Those days are long gone. Lyft is said to be eyeing international expansion. They're trying to catch up with Uber, so they're looking to launch in Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom. So, you know, Uber is now in more than 70 countries, where Lyft is just in the U.S., but they're looking to expand. So I'm sure they're going to be going looking for some more money. But I've been doing Lyft a lot recently when I travel. There was an app that slipped by Google's defenses and ended up in the Google Play Market. And malicious apps had over 1 million downloads. And they found, they were spyware apps. And the apps were downloaded as many as 4.2 million times. The apps were from a family of malware that security firm Checkpoint called Expensive Wall. It was surreptitiously uploaded phone numbers, locations, and unique hardware identifiers so attackers controlled servers. The apps then used the phone numbers to sign up unwitting users to premium services and to send fraudulent premium text messages, a move that caused users to be billed. Checkpoint researchers didn't know how much revenue was generated by the apps. Google Play shows that the apps had 1 million to 4.2 million downloads. Always look at your credit cards, folks. Look at your credit card bills. At least once a month, I have something on my credit card. What's that? And I have to go back and research and make sure it wasn't a purchase I made or one of the kids made on my card. And then got to make the call and get the details and dispute the charge. At least once a month, something's showing up. Many of you are not looking at your credit card bills closely. Please, please, please do. Hopper is a new FlexWatch feature. It's for spontaneous travelers who don't care where they go. I'm not familiar with a FlexWatch. With FlexWatch, you can search for a whole what this does is this an app? All right, so what this does is Hopper is a function of FlexWatch that allows you basically, to get started, you tap the FlexWatch on the homepage, and then you're brought to a screen to ask you preferred trip. So you basically select a trip, time frame, and where you kind of want to go, and then it finds the cheapest destination and helps you book a ticket. So I'm not real familiar with FlexWatch. I apologize, but if you have a FlexWatch, definitely check out Hopper. It'll help you save some money if you want to do a spontaneous trip to some location, as long as you don't really care where you're going. There's a report on the BBC that the action Reddit took in 2015 to close down offensive chat forums had a positive effect on removing hate speech from Reddit. And it basically, the ban led to many people closing their Reddit accounts, and those that stayed actually toned down their language. The study suggests that the ban did not have any significant impact beyond Reddit. So it shows when big companies do crackdowns on hate speech, there is a cause and effect, which reduces the amount of moderation needed. And these moderators did not have to react about 80% less. So essentially, they really reduced the amount of nastiness that was going on Reddit just by putting in policies and shutting down forums that were causing a lot of trouble that was bleeding over into other Reddit channels. So interesting move, at least an interesting study to see what happened on Reddit. The internet service providers claim privacy law would weaken online security and increase pop-ups. So let me say that again. Internet service providers in the United States claim a privacy law would weaken online security and increase pop-ups. The country's biggest internet service providers and advertising industry lobby groups are fighting to stop a proposed California law that would protect the privacy of broadband customers. Okay, now listen closely, all of you that live in California and the rest of you that live in the rest of the country. We've talked about this a lot. AT&T, Comcast, Charter, Frontier, Sprint, Verizon, and some broadband lobby groups urge California state senators to vote against the proposed law in a letter Tuesday. The bill would require internet service providers to obtain customers' permission before they use, share, or sell the customer's web browsing and application usage histories. Now, let me read that again. The bill would require internet service providers in California only to obtain customers' permission before they use, share, sell the customer's web browsing and application usage history. California lawmakers could vote on the bill Friday of this week, essentially replicating federal rules that were blocked by the removal of a lot of the stuff that happens with basically the stuff that's going on with the FCC. So, I think this is good. Good, California, go. And because the internet service provider's taken all our browsing history, everything we're doing online, and they're selling it to the highest bidder. So this is why it's really critically important that the sites that you visit have HTTPS and are secure, so that they're not seeing exactly where you're going or doing on those sites. Moving on to a completely different topic, some scientist got a little bit crazy. He decided to shock himself with an electric eel so you don't have to. He basically let this eel jump out of the water and strike his arm, and it took like 8 tries to do it because he kept jumping, and the unit he was using to measure this with, you watch the video, this guy's crazy. You know, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. But this thing, 40 to 50 milliamperes is what was the shock amount, what they measured. And this was from a baby eel. This was from a little one. Oh, my God. We know that eels, you can get shocked in the water from an eel. But this eel actually came out of the water and zapped them halfway up his arm. It's just, they're like, eels are, any snake like is the only good snake is a dead snake. Hey, Game of Thrones Season 8 will have multiple endings to avoid leaks. HBO doesn't trust their security, so they're going to record like 8 different endings so that no one knows how the Game of Thrones is really going to end. So we'll see where this goes. Sounds kind of crazy. Cannot wait for Season 8. We're going to be waiting for a while. Hey, there's a cool video of watching SpaceX blow up a lot of rockets while trying to land them. If you want to see how not to land an orbital rocket booster, the video is actually pretty cool. It's a 2-minute video. And, you know, oftentimes they didn't show us the explosions, right? They cut the video off before we got to see the boom. And these are the actual booms. Oh, this is a good one. Upside down it goes, and kaboom it goes. So anyway, this is a fun video, and you have to. Whoa, what was that? Was that my phone? Yeah, it was. Who messaged me? Okay. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. That'll be a highlight of the day from the podcast. Told you we had a lot of stuff tonight. October 4th is a new Pixel Day, confirmed by Google, with a video and a billboard. So yes, indeed, the new Pixel. What is going on? All right, just Google Plus notifications caused my phone to flash. I have to turn that off. The United Kingdom has published first draft of new stricter data protection laws. The UK's Data Protection Act of 1998 is staring retirement in the face, as the government has now published the first draft of the new data protection bill designed to replace it. And so those of you in the UK, they've got a video about it and everything. So you can go through and look at the what's coming for you in data protection laws and how they're supposedly going to try to protect you. There's also some information out about voter registration websites and how some of those records are becoming or vulnerable. You know, there's a lot of websites that allow you to change your voter registration details. And so what they did is some security firms, Harvard researchers found when they took a closer look at those types of websites that 35 states and Washington, D.C. provided their residents during the 2016 presidential elections. They determined that the website gave attackers an easy way to mess with election proceedings similar to what might have happened in Riverside County, California. And a number of voters in Riverside found themselves unable to cast a ballot during primary day because their details had been changed. And but anyway, this goes into a full study that essentially 10 of the 35 states at least keep a record of web access and change logs. So that's kind of scary. Only 10 of the 35 kept records of any changes. So those other ones didn't. So it just means that they don't know if someone got something got changed or not. Of course, they're talking now that one state, they think that the election results were changed in that state because of same-day voter registration allowances. Okay, rumor GoPro 4K camera is coming. And whoops, let me put the right screen up. Apparently, this is a picture of the packaging. And, you know, it's been a while since GoPro came out with a new action camera. But according to leaks spotted by Photo Rumors, the GoPro Hero 6 Black is going to have support for 4K video recording at 60 frames per second. Its predecessor, the Hero 5, could record 4K at 30 frames per second. And we'll see if this is out here for the Christmas holidays or not. It looks to me like the packaging is ready. And this is a major leak. That looks like the real deal there. I don't think there's any photoshopping going on that one. But we've got one Hero 5 here and a couple of Hero 3s. Of course, my son is the Hero 5. Nope, it was on the table here. He's got it someplace now. If you use Facebook Messenger, you're one of 1.3 billion people that do. So that number's climbing. You know, I'm a big fan of Bose, and actually my workout headphones right now are Bose, the Bose Sports, and they hold a charge for a long time. I go 5-6 days without having to charge those headphones, unlike the last ones I had that failed and every 2 days needed a charge. But Bose next headphone may include Google Assistant. The new Quiet Comfort 35-2 headphones, these are the over-the-ear ones, the cuffed ones, could ship with the artificial intelligence concierge. And apparently, Bose accidentally leaked a new pair of headphones in an email newsletter of all places. No one quite knew what the can's mysterious action button was for. Well, now we do. Activating Google Assistant, the upcoming Comfort 35-2 over-the-ears will feature Mountain View's digital assistant and be among the first headphones to do so. 9to5Go Google confirmed this via Bose documentation. A Reddit user spotted them in the retail packaging as well. So, anyway, another leak. Loose lips and pictures sink ships. Starbucks is updating its wireless chargers to support the iPhone 10 and iPhone 8. Of course, those of you that are Android users, you're going to be mad. You're going to have to make room on those mats to charge those iPhones in Starbucks. People actually go into Starbucks to charge their phones. I've been in a Starbucks once this year. One time, you know, and I didn't get coffee. I think I got tea. I see kids, high school kids, there's a Starbucks close to one of my kids' schools, and there's high school kids going in. How do they have that kind of money? You know, my kids do not get enough allowance. They don't earn enough in chores they do around here to be able to afford Starbucks every day. You know, it's a different world. Going and getting a latte every day, $5-6. You know? You gotta have some rich parents. It doesn't happen at my house. You want coffee? The Keurig machine's in there. Grab a pod. Make your own. And we're not going to start. And they're lucky you've got the Keurig machine. Before we had the, you know, filter thing. So, anyway, geez. Sprint starts selling the Essential phone at retail stores. Andy Rubin's new smartphone company, Essential, unveiled its first handset a few months back. It's now in Sprint stores if you're a Sprint customer. This is something that's cool. Facebook has a snooze button, lets you temporarily mute people. I love this. It's wonderful. When people get on rolls and they get started on some of these topics, you're just like, please, just stop. And you can put them on a 24-hour snooze, a 1 week or a month. Oh, beautiful. Unfollow or snooze for 24 hours, 7 days, 30 days, or just unfollow. I could have used that during the election. I can't tell how many people I'm still unfollowed. Samsung is going to spend $300 million to make cars smarter. Okay. They've got a $300 million pile of cash to pursue sensors, artificial intelligence, automotive safety solutions, and more. It's pouring another $89 million into TT Tech, a networking and safety control company. It's working with Harman International. So, Samsung, man, they're a force to be reckoned with. They really, really are. You know, Lenovo, not a lot of people buy Lenovo laptops, but Kirk found a review of the Lenovo Yoga 720, which has a discrete GTX 1050 graphics card in it, and it has got an amazing review. Priced at $1,259. They give this thing rave reviews. So link will be up in the show notes on that if you're looking for a laptop. Hey, Motorola has announced the Oreo updates to Moto Z and Moto G5 lines. So you will be getting some updates starting this fall. They haven't set an exact date, but you are going to get updates, which is good. And finally, did you know that there's bug spray that apparently can attract Bigfoot? A North Carolina woman claims that her homemade bug spray has a remarkable side effect. It attracts Bigfoot. Allie Megan Webb says that she initially created a concoction dubbed Bigfoot Juice to help her husband fend off mosquitoes during expeditions in search of the legendary beast. After a few times using the spray, he asked her to tweak the recipe because it smelled too feminine. Whoa, what was that? You guys see that fly up on the microphone? I don't know what it was. But anyway, when she made the tweak, it apparently, because she changed it to more an outdoorsy scent, it attracted Bigfoot, and they got the first sight of a Bigfoot. You would think that the feminine smell would maybe attract a certain type of Bigfoot, but I guess not. But to attract a Bigfoot, you need a smell that's woodsy enough to keep from scaring him off. You know, all this technology, we still don't have a picture of Bigfoot that you can actually see. Just like the Loch Ness Monster. Okay, got an email from Barry. He says, Todd, I'm curious of your concerns with the gems. As you recall, my son owns a restaurant in Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm thinking this could be an incredible marketing tool for him, so any site issues may have uncovered in your trial will be greatly appreciated. Barry, this is the bomb. I have no concerns if you're going to use it for your own marketing. And actually, you can set this up so that it can actually have different messages during different times of the day. So, for example, it's getting close to, let's say it closes at 9 o'clock. So starting from 6 to 9, you could have a notice going out that you're going to have a breakfast special. And if you're in the store and you basically get a coupon for a discount at breakfast or something. I mean, it's really, really, really slick. You have to be on top of it, updating the messaging and all that stuff. But from what I found out, these are really effective. And if he's got an app for his store, he should think about putting the working to get iBeacon functionality into his app. iBeacon is a similar functionality to the Beacon technology that Android works with, but Apple isn't as open, so it kind of has to be built into the app, to my understanding. But yeah, no, I have no reservations for a business owner doing this. The reservation, the concern you should have is a competitor putting a beacon close to a store advertising their business and trying to get traffic away from your own store. That is the would be the concern I would have. Got an email from Ron. He said, "Todd, I can't wait to see these. These look awesome." And it's in regards to something called Magic Leap. And Ron, I loaded the page. There's no picture. So they've got a lot of money. A lot of money invested in them. But sources have told Bloomberg that Magic Leap will likely be shipping devices to a small group of users in 6 months, and the device would cost between $15,000 and $2,000. Again, Magic Leap is an augmented reality project device. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but some sort of VR glasses. And so we'll see where this happens. But Ron, thanks for sending that over. I definitely appreciate it. I think that's the last email. That is. That's it. All right. We're over time. Hey, we're right on time. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. Greg, Brad, thanks for hanging out in the chat room. Those of you on YouTube, thanks for, got a good group on YouTube. Thanks for being here. It's been my pleasure bringing you a show tonight. I hope you had a good time. Kirk, good job. Awesome job. Thanks for rocking it on the show notes too and making my life easier. And for the rest of the audience, for all the insiders, and we need to do an insider appreciation. It's been a while. If you haven't become an insider yet, geeknesscentral.com/insider. For everyone that's been chipping away and chipping in every month, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, your contributions really help with keeping my sanity down and be able to, you know, to pay Kirk and the other folks that do stuff for Geekness Central. So, it's a great pleasure, and we got lots of cool stuff coming this January for CES too. I'm really excited about how that's shaping up. But anyway, enough of this. On the road, we'll see you next week, regular time, same bat channel, no live show, but just check in at geeknewscentral.com for the next episode. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.